Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, balancing business and mental well-being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hey, everybody. My name is Sam, and I am the community host and founder of an online community for women called Safe Heart Connections. And I work with them as they learn to create a life they love one choice at a time. And I'm a big believer that if you want to change the world, you have to start with you.
So what got you into, you said you were in a community. How did you connect there?
Well, I started the community. So what happened was I got out of an abusive marriage in 2015. And I had been married and divorced multiple times before that. And when this thing happened in 2015, I was like, okay, this is not going to work. And there's one commonality in all these situations, and it was me. And so I went on this healing journey. And starting actually March 8th of 2015 is the day I wrote in my journal and I drew a line in the sand that this isn't, I said, this shit's not going to work anymore. And I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it was going to look like. And now we're coming up on 10 years and I can look back and see what it meant. And it meant that I learned to love who I am exactly as I am, period, hard stop, end of story. And very soon into my journey, I recognized I was meant to work with other women to help them learn this too. And so at first, the community started out really, it was more of a monthly meetup in Irving, Texas. And we met up for dinner at one of my favorite hotels. They had a restaurant there. We would sit out on the patio and just talk. There were 7 or 8 of us the first time. And that has now grown into having an online community where I have women from all over the world, literally in the community. And we get to hang out on Zoom. And then we also do, once a year, I do an in-person retreat. It's really small. Typically, I have 10 to 12 women that'll be there. I do other online virtual events. Most of the community is free. My heart is to have it that way so that anybody, any woman in the world that wants to learn to create a life she loves one choice at a time, she can start with the base of what she learns with me. And then if she wants to dig in and do more work, then there's paid opportunities. But there's women that have been with me for years that have never given me a penny. And I'm like, that's fine. Keep on coming, baby. It's fine. Yeah.
Brains are funny. Okay. But when somebody first joins your group, like what are some of the first things that they see? What are the starting place for what you do?
That's a really great, great question. So when someone joins Safe Heart Connections, the first thing they do when they join, they get an auto DM from me because it's set up where it automatically happens. And so I try and respond back right away. When I see it goes in, say, hey, this, I know that was an auto DM, but this is me. I'm real. I'm a human. But the question that I ask them is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you love yourself right now? And no matter the answer, no matter what they say, my answer is almost always the same. That's perfect. Because this, the first step in creating a life you love, starting with you, is to know where you're at. You have to know where you're at. And so being able to be aware of where you're at, maybe that number's low or maybe it's high, doesn't really matter. Because I believe even if you're a 10, there's still more things to do and learn or maybe give back and help to contribute. Because I believe that if we are not focusing on something, it will deteriorate. It will go away, right? And so maybe I work really hard at creating this life I love, and then I take my eyes off of that and I pivot and I don't make myself a priority anymore and I don't keep my cup full, then that number will inherently, it'll just go down. There's no other way around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's the first thing we do. And then I have a really simple Start Here module where it gives them the lay of the land in the community, and it gets them to be brave and do an introduction post to say who they are. And they don't have to share a lot, but just getting them, I can tell for sure that when a woman joins, if she'll go through the Start Here module, then she actually does the quick little things, she will be engaged more. She will see more growth because she's willing to step out of her comfort zone. And there's different levels. My community's on school and they apply it. And there's different levels. Mm-hmm. And the first level is called wallflowers. And wallflowers aren't bad. It means you're coming in, you're checking out the room, you're seeing if it's okay for you. And if it's not, it's okay to bounce. You can leave, right? But come check it out. We're a very warm, loving group of women, all there for the same reasons, where we just want more community, more connection. We think we're more connected now than ever because of technology. And I call BS, it's just not true. And so being able to have a safe place to come, one of the women in the community, just this week, she sent me a message. While I'm still talking, I'll pull it up. I just can't make this stuff up. She said, Sam, I have no in-person support, but I want to say every time I see a post or an email in Safeheart Connections, I feel whole.
Mm-hmm.
And for so many of us, we don't have in-person connections. And do I want people to have in-person connections? Yes. Yes, it's important. There's something different about meeting in a space and being elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. But if you don't have that, start in a virtual community, right? And so I'm honored to be able to be the community host for these women. And it really, yes, I'm helping them, but truthfully, it helps me. It helps me keep my side of the street clean. It helps me remember that I have to make myself a priority. And when we do goal setting calls and check-in calls, I'm setting goals too, because this is an ongoing lifetime thing for me. And I'm not just I don't even call myself a coach. I say I'm the host and the founder, you know, the community host and the founder of Safeheart Connections. And I'm coming alongside them. I'm their guide as they do this. And everybody's journey looks different. At the end of the Start Here module, if somebody does that, they actually get to go on what I call a 30-day gratitude experience. And it's basically every day for 30 days, they submit a form where they say one thing they're grateful for that day. And at the end of the 30 days, I create a unique customized word cloud with all the things they said they were thankful for, grateful for. And so that's really the beginning of it. And then we do monthly check-in calls. I'd share affirmations weekly. We have a book club right now going on for the book called Worthy, and it's going really well. And there's lots of free stuff. There are paid things, but nobody ever has to do anything if they don't want to. We talk about a lot is keeping your cup full to the overflow. What I teach I've coined the phrase the overflow effect. And what happens is if you imagine you have a coffee cup or a teacup sitting on a saucer, and people say you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't. But we as women specifically are taught to give and give and give and give until we can't give anymore. And they're like, oh, but may I have some more, please? And then you're looking at your cup and it's so empty. There's nothing on the saucer. But if you can keep pouring into your life in a way that shows you love and respect and building your self-worth and self-esteem and all the things, then it pours out over onto the overflow onto that saucer. And when you can create a life that allows you to give from that saucer, that when you're able to give in generous, kind, loving ways that you could never do before, and it doesn't deplete you. And so when I say self-love is not selfish, that's what I mean. If you want to change the world, start with you, because you can't give from a state of depletion. And I encourage our women to keep their cup full, because we want to give, but I believe we've been taught to give in some toxic ways.
So when you say that we've been taught to give in some toxic ways, can you say more on that. I know some toxic ways. And I'm sure anybody listening can go, yeah, I know like 10 off the top of my head. Yeah. But like maybe one or two and how you change the thought process on that.
Yeah, I've got a really, this may not make sense, but we have two grandsons, a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old. And my dad is on staff at the church where we go with him sometimes. And my 6-year-old grandson told his mom, my daughter, a couple of weeks ago, that he wanted to get baptized. And we're like, okay, you're a little young. So my dad and his wife, my bonus mom, Sweet Mary, she is legit Sweet Mary. And we're talking to Finn. And what Finn said was, when I get baptized, can I help at the church like grandfather? And so I see that as almost like it's an expectation to do, to give instead of to receive. And I do believe in giving, but when you're first on a journey, when you're first learning this stuff, you're starting to make connections. It's 100% okay to come and receive. And, you know, I am a Christian, and sometimes I don't tell people that depending on the environment. Not because I'm afraid or embarrassed of what I believe, but because I see so many Christians now that are known for what they hate instead of what they love. And so I have this really cool gift about me that God's given me where I can love him and people, period. It doesn't matter if they believe the same thing as me or not. And so when it comes to the giving part, though, it's like we are taught from a very young age that it's okay, like it's self-sacrifice is to be honored. If my little 6-year-old grandson, and he, you know what, he has a heart of kindness and he's funny and he's all boy. And so I'm not saying his heart to want to serve is bad. What I'm saying is that we're taught to give in such a way from such an early age that we forget to give to ourselves. And when we start out at such a young age doing that, then no wonder we get to where we're 40 years old and we wake up and we're like, who am I? Like, I've become what I'm supposed to be, not who God created me to be. And so I've been on this journey now and I've learned who I am. I know why God created me. I know that the fact that I'm a bit eccentric is on purpose. Not a bad thing. I used to, in the way I feel, like before I started my healing journey in 2015, I had shut off all my feelings, all my emotions. I didn't feel anything good. Can you imagine an empath not feeling what that must have been like when I turned on the faucet to start feeling again? And it was so like it would physically hurt my body to feel. And it's gotten better over the years, where I can manage it a little bit, the good and the bad. But what I recognize by shutting off the bad, I shut off the good. And so it's been a whirlwind of a journey. But I would really encourage anybody that's listening that if, when you think about creating a life you love, and if you start to think about what that looks like, if your life doesn't already look like that, today's the day possibly to just make one choice. You don't have to do it all. That's why I say create a life you love one choice at a time. One choice to do something to show yourself kindness, love, grace, appreciation, respect, anything that's going to help point you towards creating this life you love, because the world will be better for it. Not only will you be better for it, but the world will be better for it too. Mm-hmm.
When you were going through your, I hate to say journey, because then everybody's going to, oh, they got that from AI. They're not talking real, but no, this is me.
I call it my healing journey. I used to call it recovery, but everybody's like, oh, I didn't know you were a drug addict. I'm in recovery for self-hate, but people don't get that. They think it's drugs or alcohol. You can recover from a million different things. And it just really became easier for me to say my healing journey instead of recovery.
Mm-hmm. So when you started down that path, I know for me, like when I had something really bad happen, and my brain, my mental health shattered into tiny little pieces. And so when I kind of went out of it for years. And when I finally started to come out of that, because my meds were finally straightened out, and now I could actually think again instead of only be at the back of my head somewhere where, like, I didn't want to be there. I was kind of just stuck there. But when I started to come out of that, for me, there was a moment where, like, the world went from kind of dim and gray, and then it snapped back into focus for me, because it was kind of like, oh, wow, hey, look at that, all systems a go. Yeah. And then from then on, I could build on that.
Yeah.
I have used therapy.
Situations that are very directly related to that, so... What the first one was when I really understood the impact of gratitude in my journey. As I got out of my abusive marriage in 2015, I got moved and settled to this new place. And it was a pretty long story. I won't go into all the details, but he found me. I got a text message from him 6-8 weeks in that said, I know where you're at. And I ended up having to move again. I actually had to break a lease. The apartment complex said, oh, yeah, it's fine. And a few months later, I get a thing for failure to pay my rent and a thing saying I owed him all this money. But in the middle of all that, I mentioned earlier that when we started Safe Heart Connections, we would have it at this my favorite hotel at the restaurant. Well, the apartments that I ended up moving into were next door to that hotel. And I would have not known that apartment complex was within my reach financially had I not got that text message. And so, because it made me start asking some questions and stuff. So in that moment of being able to find gratitude, even in the moving, that's when my eyes were open to the fact that if I want to create a life I love, if I focus on the good stuff, and if I can do it in that awful moment, I can do it in any moment. The second one, and you mentioned life looked gray. And one of the trainings that I went through, they actually had us imagine ourselves in a gray room. It was all gray. Whatever was on the walls, whatever it was in our mind, it was. And the door was open. And we had a choice. Do we stay in the gray room or do we leave? And for some people, they left. Some people, they stayed. Some people, they got to the edge, like they're about to leave, and then they don't. And the only reason I know this is because we shared afterwards. And during the trainings, we would do these different experiences. And I had never raised my hand. And I, like, if I was called on, I would speak. But I never said, hey, me. And when we were done with that particular thing, I stood up and raised both my hands and said, you better pick me. And they did. And when I left the gray room, there was a party outside waiting for me to show up. The world was ready. I just had to decide if I was going to come out and play. And so in that moment, when I start to feel like I'm kind of going back or I'm not doing what I need to do, I'm like, I'm not going back into that damn gray room. I'm not doing it. So those are two. And then I have some other things. But those were two really, really important moments for me.
It was an important moment for me, like that crystallizing of the, well, we've made the choice to live, show up now, because yeah. I had made the choice to live, but I wasn't living.
Yeah.
You get so far into your depression sometimes that you can't see the forest for the trees. And it's just this huge thing that has happened. And now you're like, I can't breathe. And then all of a sudden, all the toxicity that I was around ended. And there was just, I could breathe again. And then it snapped into focus. And I was like, oh, wait, I have a brain again. And then I wasn't overwhelmed by somebody saying, can you get my contacts out of Google? Because, like, duh, that took like 5 seconds. Where 2 weeks before, it would have taken me maybe a month and 3 crying sessions to be able to do it. Like, I always had the knowledge on how to do it, but I got so overwhelmed by this stupidest stuff that it was taking over everything. And once I came out of that, it was a big deal because now I could function and I could actually be of help to the people around me instead of just being a log.
Okay. I'm glad you came out of it too.
So is there anything, I don't want to say anything else because that makes it seem like I'm like, okay, we're done. But do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I just know that for so many of us, we are so busy trying to do all the things that the last thing we do is slow down and take time for ourselves. And I understand we have to make money, we have to pay the bills, we have to, you know, if you're married, you have a spouse, you're living life with, doing life with them, your kids, your grandkids, your sisters, whoever, we're all busy. And the only way something's going to change is if you make something change. And so if you're ready to start to create a life you love one choice at a time, here's my best suggestion. This is, if I were starting all over again, this is what I would do. I would start every morning, even before you get up. You don't have to write them down. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. In your brain, at least, or out loud, say three things you're thankful for. And think about the top three things you need to do for the day. That way, right when you're getting up, you're focused on what's going to happen for the day, and you're focused on gratitude. And then at the end of the evening, and there's all kinds of research that shows, my favorite book out there is called The Gap in the Gain by Ben Hardy and Dan Sullivan. And the last hour, how you spend your last hour of the evening of the day is the most important hour of the day. And I'm still working on this. Sometimes I do good, sometimes I don't do good. But to have three wins from the day, the three things that happen, they could be small. And if you want to call them three good things, you don't have to call them wins, whatever makes the most sense. But as you are going to bed for the evening, your three wins for the day and what you think your three wins for the next day are going to be. If you'll do that one thing, I actually call that the 7-minute gratitude blueprint, the gratitude blueprint. Sorry. She's going to have to edit that one. Dumb. She even heard that one. He's walking away. He's like, he said, oops. He's trying to be quiet. I was supposed to be at the office, and because my head was hurting, I didn't go. So so he's doing good. I'm the one that's not supposed to be here. Anyway, so I actually call that the 7-minute gratitude blueprint. And any woman that joins Safe Heart Connections, I have something that I call the self-love. Now, if any woman joins Safe Heart Connections, Norm's in there, that's $37. If they join and send me a message saying that it came from you, Nikki, then I will actually give them access to that for free. It includes the online course, the Self-Love Mini Series, which is a base of understanding what it is, what it's not, all that stuff. And then an e-book of the Love Your Journey, a guide to healthy self-love. And they get a self-love assessment and a 15-minute call with me. And I don't charge much for it, but because it's going to take my time to show up, there's some value to that. So it's usually $37, but any woman that wants to join and they message me saying that they got connected to me because of you, I'll gladly give them access for free.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll have to write myself a note. Can I make it? Yes, I can. Okay. Okay. Sorry, I don't want to forget to put that on anything. So I saved it to the event tonight. Okay. So I think we can talk about the opposite side. Okay. So we just talked about how to love yourself and be yourself and be genuine. You are allowed to be you. And then we can talk about AI as the other half of that.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us. Before we dive into our next topic, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you to like this video, subscribe to our channel, and hit that notification bell. That way, you'll always be the first to know when a new episode drops. And we want to hear from you. What topics are you most excited about? Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Your feedback helps us create content that you love. We've got some exciting stuff coming your way, so don't miss out. Now, let's switch gears and jump into our next discussion.
AI is wonderful, right? Like, it helps me do a lot of different things in my business, but it can also be harmful. There's some stuff that says that ChatGPT and a bunch of the other ones that do the images have learned how to do those images by looking at artists' work and, you know, doing that. I mean, that's not very ethical, right? But I talked about AI at the beginning of the year with somebody, and I don't want to go down the same path as saying leadership has to be, you know, ethical about how they use AI. That was in the first episode in January. I'm more along the lines of, if you are in business for yourself, or if you are just you, right? I use AI to write emails. There's no problems with that, because guess what? I have to put in the information about what I need to talk about. I just can't string letters together. Amazing that I have a podcast, but it's fine. And I can't spell to save my life. It's just never been a thing for me. I have Grammarly and all those to make sure that I'm spelling things right and I'm saying them in a manner that makes me sound more intelligent than I am some days. Sometimes I look at the word and go, okay, I wouldn't use that word because I don't even know what that word means.
Yeah, so that's the time to change the word.
Yes.
That's what I don't ever delve into anything.
What I did was I was given a list of words nobody says. And I went into ChatGPT and I said, here's this list of words. Never use these for any content that you were giving me ever, because I use none of them. Mm-hmm. And so it saved it, and now it doesn't give me, oh, your path in life was a journey. Stop it.
In conclusion.
I actually was at a church one time, and not one time, like I am a Christian as well, but this point, this person was up there talking about something, and I think they said in conclusion 6 times. They went over the amount of time they were supposed to talk by like 20 minutes, like the whole time going in conclusion. Okay, ooh, it's almost done. No, it's not. That was a lie. That was not in conclusion. But
yeah, I use AI as well. I love it. I use ChatGPT. I've tried some of the others. And I use it for brainstorming. I really do. And I put in all the information about what I'm trying to do. And then I'll ask them if I'm doing, specifically right now, I'm working on YouTube of creating videos that would be relevant for my audience. And so I give it all the information about the women I'm trying to connect with, and what I'm trying to do, and how I help in the world. And I'll say, what would be 10 videos that a woman like this would want to, that would help them? And it gives me the ones, and then I'm like, okay, I like this one. This is what I would say about this. And I type it all in. I'm like you, I give it all the information. So can you, based on what I just gave you, can you give me a 6-minute script? And actually I changed it to 10 minutes because apparently I talk faster than ChatGPT does. Because with a 10-minute script, I'm usually between 4 and 6 minutes. And I don't do it word for word what they gave me, but they're using my word. Yeah.
So just as a FYI, AI doesn't know how long anything will take. So you're saying 10 minutes. And I mean, I've done that. I've tried that and it didn't work out very well because their 10 minutes was like 2 minutes for me. And I was like, I don't talk that fast, do I?
Yeah. Well, I know I do, especially when I'm doing these things. I think that as a normal, like having a conversation with you, I don't think I speak as fast. When I'm doing these videos, I'm trying to make every second count. So where I know I don't lose somebody, I know I do speak a little bit faster.
So what you can do is talk normally, and then in the editing process, kick up the speed a little bit.
1.1, yeah, I've done that sometimes too.
So that it still gets your point across because you're still saying the words, but now you're not rushing through and can actually breathe.
Smart, yeah, that's smart. Thank you.
For me, when using AI, there are things that we should do, can do, no problems with, right? Again, an email where you give it the information you're trying to get across and it just says, this is a more businessy way of saying it, because you can't tell them that they need to get off their butt and do it, because that's not the businessy way to say it, apparently. But on the other hand, doing assignments for educational purposes, so either high school, college, that kind of thing, having it write the entire paper for you instead of you writing it is not okay. In my eyes, anyway. I don't know what the official ruling in high schools or colleges is, but
I'm sure it's not okay.
That's plagiarism. You don't know who you're plagiarizing because you've got that wall of it being AI in front of you. But yeah. On the other hand, if you write the paper and you put it in there and say, can you fix any grammar mistakes or spelling mistakes? And you get back the same thing, but fixed grammar and spelling, that is fine.
Yeah.
Because that's it helping you make a finished product. And you've done 98% of the work, right?
Yeah.
I wish I'd had it when I was in college, because I wrote an entire paper about immigrants and spelled it immigrates all through the thing.
That would probably have been me. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
I got an F on the paper and I had to go back and fix it. And I was like, I feel like an idiot right now. So
it's just a word, just a misspelling. So I'm actually publishing a book. I've done many journals and stuff, but I've never really told my story. And March 8th, 2025 is now. And so it's when it's being published on March 8th, depending on when this goes out, it'll already be done or not. But what I did, because I was really having a hard time coming up with a base of where to start, because I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what my journey was. But I had written a testimony for Celebrate Recovery, where I had a lot of the information. I had written an article about something, and I had taken some of my journal notes, and I put it in ChatGPT. And I said, these are all the things I wrote about me, about my story. Some of the stories overlap. Some have more information than others. Can you put it in can you make this to where it makes sense without any overlap? And it did. And I used that for the base. That is not my book.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used that as my starting point to get my thoughts in order. And then I went in and as I was writing my part, like I was writing it. Funny story, I went last week or the week before, now I can't remember, to a place where I finished writing the book. And I was gone for a couple of days and I didn't know I was going to have no Wi-Fi, but I had no Wi-Fi. And so I had the draft that I had written saved on my computer. I thought, oh, I don't need Wi-Fi to get to that. It was saved on OneDrive, so I couldn't get it. And so I actually had a printed out copy of my draft. And my book is going to be 100% better because of that little moment, because I had to retype the whole thing. And so at the beginning, like I'm typing it, I'm making it clear, I'm using better stories, I'm adding in more stuff. And that's another form of gratitude, finding, like, I could have been so angry that I had to retype this whole thing or go get Wi-Fi somewhere. And I retyped it, and I just got the book back from the editor today. And she said, in addition to the fact that I used too many dashes in my writing, which is true, she's done, but like, I still remove your dashes, is that it was hard to read in some places because of what I was sharing. But even though she hadn't gone through something similar in her life, she took it to heart for herself and for things her daughter had gone through. So I think it's relatable, and they're my words. And I've created a ton of journals, and on all of them, the cover, it says created by Sam Morrison Wilson. On this one, it says written by Sam Morrison Wilson, because I wrote this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but I used AI at the very beginning of the process to help me pull my thoughts together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use a couple of different AI. I use ChatGPT, which is my day-to-day one. Like, I'll go in there when I need to post something and say, help me post on this topic about this thing or whatever, and it will help me do that. But I also use it. I also use, Perplexity.
Okay.
Perplexity is an AI that does research. It gives you the actual websites that it's pulled the information from. So where ChatGPT will give you that finished thing, it usually can't tell you where it got its information, or it may just make up stuff. In the case of Perplexity, it actually gives you like numbers every once in a while. I don't know where they got that sentence from. Like, this is where we got this information from. It's on this website here. You want to go to it? And then you can go and be like, oh, well, I didn't know about that. Maybe I should do something, you know, over here. I use Perplexity for my podcasts. I put in, I want to talk about AI, and it gives me some bullet points that I tell it to only give me bullet points. I don't have time to just read whatever it gives me, so that I can talk about that. And it's been very, very useful to me.
Well, good. Yeah. I use Gemini a little bit, and I don't remember the other one. But ChatGPT was the easiest for me, and I have it on my phone. So a lot of times I'll have a random thought about something, and I'm not in a place to take a note or anything. And so I'll just add it to ChatGPT, and I know go back and look at that later. And so I tell it everything I'm thinking about in that moment, so I don't lose the thought, because my brain likes to play tricks on me sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that happens to a lot of us. ChatGPT and Perplexity have apps that can go computer, phone, Mac, PC, so that you can have it with you wherever you go.
Yeah. It's great info.
I use Leonardo AI for my images that I create. And I'm not the most sophisticated person. I can't get it to make a real looking person, because it doesn't always have the amount of fingers it needs to have. The guys have the most veiny arms on the planet. You know,
if we can get the AI images to look like you can't tell it's AI, that would be a win. Because every time I see one, and I've created a couple, but there's still a long ways to go on that.
Yeah. I use the AI mostly for, like, to make the background for a social media post, or just an image for the social media post, where I know it's fake, but it's because I'm giving, like, I did one this week where the person was, like, ecstatic that they saved on their insurance. No, that's not a real person. But, you know, it kind of gives you the, oh, I'm going to be super happy if I talk to my insurance agent and get things fixed, because, duh, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And they come back and say, oh, yeah, I got you a discount of like a couple $100. And you're going, heck yeah, thanks. You're going to have that little mini party just like the AI dude is. Yeah. With less fingers or more fingers, depending.
Just put gloves on them. Can you make sure all appendages have clothes or gloves or shoes, please?
I was asked to create a post for my alignable, an image for my alignable meeting back towards the end of last year. And we were so concerned about people's hands that we didn't watch the people's eyes. And so after it went up on Alignable, like, we looked at it and we're like, that guy's looking that way and that way at the same time.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, I mean, it obviously was AI. It wasn't a really big deal. Like, anybody who noticed it was just laughing with us that it happened, because we were like, we made sure they had five fingers.
Mm-hmm. All of them. They're there.
Because that's one of my struggles when I do stuff, is to get five fingers. Because for some reason, I get the thumb that is the whole hand. Or I get three fingers that are like as big as your big toe. And I'm like, I don't understand what is happening. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I can get images of like fields and people in them doing stuff and, you know, water in a lake or whatever. So I tend to stick to vague things that give you the image that I'm looking for, type thing.
Yeah.
Or stock images from Adobe. I have.
I use Canva for just about everything.
Oh, yeah. I use Canva for it.
I use Canva. Like,
I do not pay for Photoshop. Do you know how expensive Photoshop is?
Yeah, I'm not.
Never mind the fact that they got so much crap going on in it that me, as somebody who's not an artist, has absolutely no idea where to start. But with Canva, I create thumbnails, I create posts, I do all of that. So usually I take whatever image I've gotten from AI, whether that's in Canva or in Leonardo, and I use that to create the background, and then I put the wording in and stuff like that. And I am not sponsored by anybody. Like, I am just talking about the stuff I use. I'm not sponsored. That would be nice, but I'm not.
Maybe at some point.
Maybe.
This has been a nice chat.
So, do you have any final thoughts?
Thank you for having me. And I enjoyed, like, just having the conversation. And it's a good reminder for all of us that if we're not where we want to be, we can be. And just have to make a different choice. And then the AI thing, I think what you talked about of having responsibility and using it well, that's a really needed reminder too. When you create something and you claim it as your own and really it was not your own, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much for coming.
I'm glad I could.